You might like to. You might like to turn in your Bible to Psalm 23 for a moment. And when you open God's Word, God has given you His Word. And we're told, to feed the sheep, to feed them, give them the nourishment and all the ingredients that help them to survive and live. So, having said that, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, and so, as we just stop and we've taken a moment to look at one of God's recipes, and all of God's word and all of the recipes end up, start with God, get us to God, to be able to walk with God. So when we're all done with the recipe, whichever one it is, we end up with God, an understanding of God, to go forward with God in an intelligent, objective, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and we took a moment in verse 23, Psalm 23, and we just took verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I will fear no evil. Why not? For thou art with me. And then we shared together thy rod and God's wonderful, wonderful rule and authority and management, and thy staff, thy support to care for us. And not only that, we shared together, we had to add, verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we looked and did that, the table of showbread in Exodus and in chapter 27, and in Exodus, and the table of showbread and the bread. So all Israel is represented by a loaf of bread. God is caring for every single person in every tribe, every person in the nation of Israel. That's what he's doing. Personal. Now, so, and then we went and had to go on the table, and God has a table as the believer goes forward. And as we're going, everyone is moving in the midst of circumstances and conditions that are all different for every single one of us, even in the same house. They're all different. And those are conditions. That's God, you're taking the conditions we live in, and that's where we live. That's in front of us. We're experiencing it. And God is going to go in His wonderful grace and use that in a most wonderful way to help us. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we shared together that thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then all of it, you'll notice, it's always God doing it, always God providing it. It's never the believer. Always God. The believer's looking for God to provide and be and do everything that has to be done. They're God conscious. Now, thou anointest my head with oil, and we share together that the priest would be, or the kings, priest, they were anointed with oil. Their head was anointed with oil as they were consecrated and set apart, sanctified for God. Now, this word, though, the word anointed, is to be fat, full, to be plump, rounded in form, chubby. And it has to do with spongy. You're spongy. The trees, plants, trees, plants, animals, persons, spinal column, the marrow. Bones need marrow. This juicy, spongy. That's where the fatty. That's what the life is, the vibrancy. Without it, we're in trouble. The plant, the tree, it needs to have that. Otherwise, it's a dead branch. It needs to be full of life. Fat. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's what he's doing. So here we are. The believer is to be set apart. The table's prepared before them and made ready. And here we are, and looking to God. Walking, trusting God as we go in each day, hour, minute, as we're going down the corridor of time. And as we're trusting God and going down the corridor, he's going to go and provide for us his rod and his staff. He's going to take care. He's going to provide in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And he's going to provide the nourishment, the movement, the whatever it is, in his grace and mercy as we go. And he's going to make, here's the table, and the table, whatever God's doing, is to make it what? To make it come out a healthy, holy, happy way. To make the head enjoying, the head fat, to make it full of life, full of health. And we did that last time, a little bit. Now, having said that, we shared together in Deuteronomy in that, that they wax in fact, Deuteronomy 31, you don't have to turn there. And what were the people doing? God blessed them with abundance. So when they had their table, they had plenty of water, plenty of food, they didn't, brass and iron, and everything they needed. There was nothing. They got out of bed, and everything was to be found that they could possibly need. And what happened? Well, God provided all that for them, Deuteronomy chapter 7, etc. And provided all of that for them. And then what? Well, they forgot God. And how do you say that, God? Deuteronomy 31, their heart waxed fat. When I gave them all of the abundance so that their material world, the world they were living in, was plush, full, fat, full of everything. And when God did that, they turned away from God. So here's an example that God provided everything. And when they did, the people turned around and forgot God. So that's one. Now we did Job in Job 36 in that. And when we did Job, what are you doing? Job was full and fat. He had everything. The devil wanted to test him, to get him to go against God. God allowed the test. So the fatness of Job all disappeared. And in one 24-hour a day, he took away his health, his family, everything around him. And the second day, he took away his health, etc. He took everything away. So he went from fat to anemic. That's what he did. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, that's Job. Now, here's Israel example. If God gives us everything, we'll trust him. No, that trouble is we won't. Israel is the example. And here's the believing heart of Job, who's trusting God. And God wants him to enjoy more fatness. Now, how does God do that? The devil wanted to test Job. Job is allowed to be tested. Everything taken away, his health, etc. Chapter 2 of Job. Took everything away from Job. And Job was there. And his friends around him said, you've lost your fatness. Remember. Job, you had everything. You were fat, plush, plump, anointed, full. But now you got nothing. And Job said, I'm going to trust God. And he did. And Job, God took him through the exercise. The table was set before Job. It was an awful hard table, but God was on the other side to work it out. And Job was looking at his problems, living with his problems, and then going and looking to God. The problems, the condition, the circumstances, and then there's God. And that's what they were doing. Now, keeping that in mind. Now Job, how did that come out? Well, when you come to chapter 42, God makes him fat again. God makes him fat again. He makes him fatter. Job is fatter than when he started. God doubles everything. Doubles it. All that he had in the beginning, God doubles it. So God, you know what you're doing? Absolutely. So therefore, as we did all that, we went to Isaiah 55. Go there. Isaiah chapter 55. And you will note. And 55, picking up if I may. Isaiah 55 and in verse 1. 55, 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend, do you despend money for that which is not bread? In other words, everything you're doing was spend all the money to get all the things, but your heart, your soul isn't satisfied. Your heart is never made fat. Having a new car, a new couch, a new yacht, your heart is never made fat. Verse 55:2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul, not your head now, the heart, the head to the heart, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Look to God. All the things you could have in this life, you could buy them and have them. Well, what good are they going to do you? What good? The loaf of bread, you eat it and it's gone. And the whatever it is you like, the favorite something, you ate it, it's gone. Whatever you had that was made you anything, it's gone. It's no more. Disappears now. So therefore, soul, delight thy soul in fatness. Now, having said that, would you go with me a little exercise again on our little word anointed fat. We want to go around it and in it and get a handle on it. So when I read anointed, he anointeth my head with oil, I'm going to have a better picture of what he's doing. What's he going to do? He's going to do something when I'm sitting at the table, and my enemies are all around, my old nature's there. I got all the problems, the conditions, the circumstances, but then there's God. And so we're looking to God, like Job. And we're looking to God, and God prepares the table, and he anoints our head with fatness, makes it fat. He makes it so that we come out of the, whatever it is, we come out healthier, holier, happier. We come out of this better. It won't seem like it, but we're coming out of it better. Now, if you would, Psalm 36. And in Psalm 36, picking up if I can. Where are we? May I start at verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Hang on to the house. You got the house. God, hang on to that. The fatness. Whose house is it? It's God's house. It's God's house. Where are we getting all our, where are we seated? We're seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, in Christ. Where are we there? There, we're here, but we belong in his house. We're absent from the body, present with the Lord, to be absent from the body, and we're going to be in God's presence, but we're going to be there in his presence. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you can, so God, you're going to go in the house, the abundant. The house, the table is full. God is there. God is the server. God is the cook. God calls the shots. God knows exactly what the human heart needs, and he provides from his house. Now, they shall abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. Verse 10, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 63. And Psalm 63 gives us another piece of information. And you will note, may pick up in Psalm 63, in verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and thy mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now, when is that going to happen, God? When are we going to go? When are we going to have this joy with marrow, fatness, marrow richness, freshness? Marrow is the fattiest for the animal. That's what they chose, the fattiest piece in the middle. That was the choice piece. Marrow, fat, fatty, plush. And fatness, same, another word to add to it, fullness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 6, when will you do it? When I remember thee upon the bed, my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me, etc. So what are we doing? The believing heart is looking to God in the trial, in the bed, in the night, in the trial, in the testing. No matter what. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, thou art with me. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 92. And in Psalm 92, adding, it's trial, test, in God's house, it's coming out of God's, all this, we're having to enjoy a wonderful relationship to God, and we need to do it. Israel was to never enjoyed it like they should. Chapter 92, Psalm 92. Going, if I can, over down to verse, to verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, with its fruitfulness. He shall grow like a cedar with its fragrance in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, back in the house of the Lord, shall he flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in their old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, fresh, flat and flourishing. To show why? Verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in him. God's going to do what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, he anointeth my head with oil. It isn't my head now, it's my soul that feeds my head. It's when you feel good, you think good. When it comes out of your heart, you're thinking, your heart, they're connected. Now, over to Jeremiah. We're coming back to you someday, so don't worry. Jeremiah and chapter 31. And you'll remember it. Chapter 31. And picking up, if I may, chapter 31, sliding over if I can, I'm going to go to verse 29. No, I'm going to start, I'll go directly, verse 31, verse 14. 4, 31 and 14. And picking it up. And I will satiate, think of a sponge when we did it, remember? Think of a sponge, a good sponge from the ocean, good one. And take that sponge and plunge it into the water and let it absorb, get saturated. So when you pick it up, it is completely full of water. That's the word, satiate, satisfied. Overflowing, like the sponge. Full. You can't add any more. Hang on. Now, so therefore, verse 14, I will satiate the soul of the priest. What are you going to do, God, to the believing heart? You're going to make it with fatness. That's what you're going to do. You're going to make it with fatness. Fullness. That's what I'm going to do. I told you, that's what I'm doing, make it full. Full, that's full. Now, and satiate the soul with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Now God, you're gonna satisfy the heart, the soul. That's what you're doing. That's what God's doing with David in Psalm 23. Over to chapter 31, Jeremiah, sliding over to verse 25. For I have satiated, there's your word again, the weary soul. I have replenished every sorrowful soul. I come and bring refreshment, fatness, health, healing. I bring it all back to in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, you're going to put us through trial and test to get there. That's right. Over to verse 31, chapter 31, and in verse 12. You remember, therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall, this is in the millennium, and they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Remember what you have, goodness in verse 12, and the slide down to verse 14. Goodness, goodness. Where is the goodness coming from? It makes us fat. Back up to verse 14, verse 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. They shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine, for oil, for the young of the flock and the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. The watered garden is the word satiated. Plush. There's no lack of water. No lack of water. God, you're going to do that. Yes, I am. Psalm 65. Psalm 66. And you will note. Psalm 66 may go, if I can, verse 10. For thou, O God, hath proved us, put us to the test. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried in the furnace. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. In other words, you let us fall, you let us get sick, you let us have the problems, you let us stumble along, you let us learn how to walk, how to talk, how to go forward. You let us find it out in the College of Hard Knocks. Verse 12, thou hast caused man to ride over our heads. We went through fire and we went through water. But when we did it, when it was all done, think of Job now, when it was all done, thou brought us out into a wealthy word, watered, satiated. When it was all done, God, we found out you did pretty good. You did pretty good. I wouldn't have known it, God, when I was going through it, but you did pretty good. Got to give you credit. God, you're going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you into a wealthy place, but it isn't going to come in a nice, happy little trip to the island. You're going to find it coming to God and his wonderful grace. That's where you're going to find it. And when you find his grace, you're going to find that he saves you in spite of yourself. He saves you anyway because you believe and allow him to save you. And then you're catching on. God, because we don't know, when you were a little baby, how much did you understand? Nothing. You couldn't even speak. You could only make noise. That's all you could do. All you could do. And how did you went through, you grew. And you went through all kinds of stages and ages to grow up. That's how it happens. Now, having said that, over if I can, please, over to Psalm 31. In Psalm 31, and you will note, David again helping us in all of the same movement. Verse 15, my times are in thy hand. O, deliver me from the hands of mine enemies, from them thou for, and from them that persecute me. David's looking for God to outwork his life in the midst of troubling times, difficult times, and he stayed in there, and God blessed him. God blessed him. My times are in thy hands. Now, but verse 16, you don't want to leave. Verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. It's causative. Cause your face, God. I'm looking to you, God. Like Job. Like David. I'm looking. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm looking, God. Here I am looking. And cause your face not to be sad, not to be mad. I want your face to shine. That's the word. Shine. To shine upon. To make the sun is shining during the day. The sun is shining, bright, prosperous, happy, prosperous, successful. It's bright light. We walk in the light. Wow. Make your face shine, God. That's what you want. We've shared it all kinds of different ways. The doctor in the hospital, whatever. You want the face to shine. You want him pleasant. You want him full of his success. So when he comes to you and looks to you, he has a plan for your life. You're looking to God. God, make your face to shine. God, you have a one. Here I am, David, Job, us. Make your face to shine upon us. That's what we're looking for, God. That's what we're looking for. Be merciful to us. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, now add to that, face shine. Bless my anointment. He anoints our head with, makes our fat, anoints our head with oil, with fatness on our head. Sliding over to Ken, Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, you will note, in Psalm 42, you're familiar with it, David, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, thirsty, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then, you know the trouble, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is your God? My world wants to know it. They don't have a God. They got religion, politic, philosophy, but no God, no life. They want to know. You're trying to tell them that you have a life. You know God. You have God. He's your personal savior. Wow. Well, where's your God? Where is your God? Now, sliding down. When I remember these things, I poured out my soul in me. For I have gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God. The house of God is where the fullness is, the fatness, in the house, in God's house. With a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Now, verse 5, why art thou cast down? Remember talking to yourself. Give yourself a good talking to. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou, the word cast down, why art thou disquieted, divided up in our mind, worried about this, wanting that? We get all over the place. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Why? For I shall yet praise him. What for? The help, the healing, the health of his countenance. The word countenance, remember, is the word face. I'm going to praise him, for I'm going to see his face. My health. We're going to read it. Verse 5. For the health of his countenance, face, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm looking for God's smile. Why am I looking for God's smile? Why am I looking for God? The table's before me in the presence of mine enemies. Chapter 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Same thing. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. Who is the health? The same as the word down in verse 5, help. Who is the health, the help, the healing of my countenance? and my God. God, verse 5, I want to see your face shine. Verse 11, so my face shines. My face. God, you're going to do it. I need it. I need to see. I need to have it. Because I hear you're everything. And I don't want to lose it because you want to show my enemies. That's why you got a table. That's why you're doing it. So people can what? See that you have an awesome God. Now, having said that, chapter 43, David's going to say it again. Verse 5, going all the way down. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health, healing, hope, healing, health of my face, my countenance, and my God. You're going to go, God, and do a wonderful thing. And God, that's what I want. So God, I need your working so that I have benefits. Now, over if you would please, to the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John. You don't go there very much, so. If I can. John, 3 John, chapter 3, chapter 3, 3 John, and end. May I go, verse 1. The elder unto the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, believed, beloved, I wish, present tense, I wish, above, concerning, above everything else in your life, about everything about you, for you, your whole being, of all the things about your life, what do you wish? Verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, present tense, and be health, have a healthy soundness, a soundness of mind, soundness of body, a soundness of heart, health, being healthy mind and body. That's what I wish. But you don't have that. I wish you would have it. Paul, here's John. John wants you to heal him. No, he didn't heal him. He didn't tell him to get healed. God, here I am, heal me. No, he didn't tell him that. What did he say? That thou mayest prosper and be in health. And then he said, adds, even as thy soul is prospering. Even as thy soul, present tense, your heart inside is awesomely wonderful. Gaius, you're a wonderful person. I wish you could feel better outside. I wish things were a little better circumstances for you, but it's wonderful. I wish everything was like your insides. How's your insides? How's our insides? We have our physicalness, but how's our inside? That's what I have to ask myself. Ask you. How's my insides? This part, you got it. Lice and everything. Got it. Won't go away, not very much. How's your insides? Fat. Thou anointest my head with fatness. Fatness, health, wholeness, freshness, fullness is the word. Healthy, spongy, chubby, fat, my soul, thou anointest my soul, thou. So therefore, in the light of that, in Psalm, John, 3 John. So therefore, what do you know? You know. Over if you can. Two quick places. Ephesians. And keep in mind, God, on the other side of the table, here's your circumstances, and on the other side, looking at you, is God. We're in the presence of God. We're in His presence. So, God, here we are. Now, so what do we now know? God, how much in your personal life, if you're walking with God and looking to God, God is always, always, always in His fullness, in His allness. You have in your heart, when you get saved, all of God. There's no stinginess. God, who's unmeasurable, is able to go and be fully in all of His wonderful nature and attributes, His person, totally all. He's all. Never a little bit here and a little bit there. A little bit now and a little bit later. No. No. God is always in His fullness to you. No matter where it is, no matter when it is, God is always, never one iota less than who He is in your heart. Now, you can't have more than God. So God, in your wonderful fullness, in your allness, you're going to do what? You're going to bring your allness, your fullness, your fatness into our heart and head. Uh-huh. So that we are what? We're able to be fat, full, fresh. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, to the body of truth. Verse 23. Which is His body? And by the way, if it's His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. All of God in Christ, all of God in Christ in the body. Now, what part of your body that you have, we live in, what part of your body does not have the full attention of your brain? Any part of your body that acts up, a message is sent to the brain, the nervous system, the whole system, your one head, taking care of that whole body. Not 10 heads, one head. One head caring for that one body. So therefore, if you just think of your heart, in the church body, looking to God, God's going to do a wonderful, wonderful thing. He's going to be what? We have all of God. I cannot have less than God. Our all is found in God's allness. Our all is found in God's allness. What do you think?